Morning, church. I'm going to invite Tom Malisco to come up here. He didn't know I was going to do this. I'm not going to make you do anything, Tom. Tom is our finance chair. And yesterday at district conference, I received our certificate from the conference for paying 100% of our apportionment. That's worth a... This is many, many years in a row that this church has been faithful in its mission to the church around the world by our giving of our apportionment to the conference for use in all sorts of things. And I benefited for many years from the giving of the conference because as a part-time local pastor in school, the conference paid for half of my health insurance. And you can imagine the cost of those. And the conference does that, pays for the salaries for the bishops and superintendents around the conference. There's a lot of great things. I've invited Tom up here because this isn't mine. This is the church's. And so as finance chair, I give you that. Put it someplace prominent in the church. And we would be remiss if when we remember our mission chair, our conference connection apportionment, we don't remember Eunice Beckley Smith. Because Eunice Beckley Smith gave a substantial amount of money to this church upon her death. And the things that we do around here, the coat drive, inspired by her giving, that was one of the things she wanted to see happen was coats for kids who don't have coats. And we're thankful for her and also the interest money from the generous gift she gave to the church is what we use this year to pay our apportionment share. So thanks be to God for Eunice Beckley Smith, and she's one of the saints of this church, and we're thankful for her as well. So, amen. Well, you've come to church on a good day. We're going to talk about death. And how we need not be afraid of death because we have victory over death in Jesus Christ. Will you come with me into Scripture this morning? The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning with the 50th verse. And again, if you've been to a funeral that I've conducted, you've heard these words. I use them at every funeral, and I'm so thankful for them. I pray that they will touch you today, and the reading, the Holy Spirit, will reach out to you through these words written by Paul so many years ago. I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I will tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with imperishability, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Jesus is the living word of God. Thanks be to God. Pray with me, friends. God, this is your time and these are your words. I pray that every word of my mouth, every meditation of our hearts is acceptable in your sight and pleasing unto you, for you are our rock, our hope, and our redeemer. Amen. We've been speaking these last few weeks ever since Easter And in fact, ever since we started Lent on victorious life, a victorious life offered to us freely through the grace of Jesus Christ. And when we see that Jesus has been raised from the dead, when we see the empty tomb, we know that the promises of Jesus Christ, the promises of Scripture, are true. That is our certificate of deposit. The Holy Spirit, who Jesus gives to us, is proof, along with the empty tomb, that Jesus is alive, Jesus is doing quite well, and we have victory through the grace that Jesus gives to us. We live in the reality that the resurrection has occurred. We live in the reality that we don't need to wander in gloom and doom, oh no, what's going to happen next? Because we know that God is in control. We've read the last chapter of the Scriptures. We know that at the end of all things, Jesus will reign supreme for all eternity. But we don't have to wait until Judgment Day to experience the grace that Jesus gives. We begin to do that even now. Every breath we take is a gift given to us by God. The very atoms of our being, they're a gift from God. And the grace, the peace, the hope that is waiting for us in eternity is available to us now through the Holy Spirit. We have the presence of Jesus Christ with us. Not Christmas presents, the abiding living presence, the reality that Jesus is with us is our hope. If Christ is with us, who can be against us? If Christ is with us, who do we have to fear? If Christ is with us, what do we have to fear? Nothing. Nothing. Jesus says, "Why are you afraid? I am with you. So be bold. And don't worry about those things in your life that others worry about. We are in God's hands. The same God who provides for the rain, the same God who provides for the flowers and the birds. Jesus says, how much more important are you than all of these things that God, through God's providence, takes care of? No worries. And yet, we live in this time when we are in the already and the not yet. There are promises that God has fulfilled, and there are promises that we still wait for the end of days for them to be brought to their completion. We are in the already, when things are already given to us through the grace of the Holy Spirit, and in the not yet, waiting for that time when Jesus comes again. The reality is that sin is forgiven through the blood shed on the cross by Jesus Christ. And yet, we still sin. I still sin. I still get mad. I still get angry. I still throw a bowling ball and miss a pin and you know, get really mad and grumble a little bit. You know, I still drive down the highways and people cut me off. I get mad at them. I just want to ram them in the back of them. Nope. Better not do that. I'm a child of God. The reality is Jesus is alive. And yet we cannot see him face to face. We cannot touch him as the disciple Thomas did. No. But yet we know that he's alive. He's sitting at the right hand of God the Father. And yet we want to see him face to face. We want to know him, you know, like we know each other here in the church. And that seems to be separated from us because Jesus' physical body isn't with us. And we are physical beings, and nothing would please us more than for Jesus to be with us in physical form. But Jesus has chosen to be with the entire world. And the only way that Jesus can do that is through the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus in human form, in the flesh, could only be in one place at one time. But in the Holy Spirit, Jesus can be in all places, in all seasons of our lives. The reality is Christ's kingdom is here, and yet we still wait for it to be fulfilled. Right now, God's kingdom is in human hearts. But we look for the day when it will be completed, and every knee will bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And yet, we know that we still experience the sting of death. Even though the scripture says, "Oh death, where is your victory? Where is your sting?" We still feel it. We know that death has been conquered. The empty tomb is the sign of that. And yet, we still die. And death, no matter whose, no matter where, no matter what the circumstances are, death is always tragic. Death is always painful. It's never easy. It's always brutal. We know how difficult death is. We've all experienced the sting of death in our lives, whether grandparents or parents or brothers or sisters, friends, even children. Even children. You know, the first place most of us still look when we go into the newspaper is the obituaries. And I noticed that those ages in the obituaries, you know, they used to be really far away from mine. And I used to think, oh, it's no problem. I'll be here forever. And then those ages start to get closer and closer. And now I start to see them that are younger than me. I've had 15 funerals. And if you're wondering, 4 weddings and 4 baptisms. I have 100% success rate in all of those. My married couples are still married. My baptized people are still baptized. And my funerals, they're all still gone. Every single one of them, we buried them. 100% success. And that'll continue. That'll continue until Jesus Christ comes again, no matter how many people we lay to rest. They stay dead. It's all sad. Every single one of them, I can picture them all in my mind right now. Every single one of them loved very much by me and by their families. And yet, in all of them, there is this hope that death, even though it's tragic, even though it took our loved ones from us, that death was not the end of their story. God weeps with us at every death. John 11:35, the shortest verse in all of Scripture. Jesus weeps. Jesus wept. And where does that take place? At a funeral for his friend Lazarus. Jesus weeps with us because Jesus knows the sting of death is very real and very painful. And yet, the reality is that Jesus is the resurrection. And Jesus is the life. Every single funeral, I always preach the resurrection. Every single funeral, I always preach hope because Jesus is alive. And I know that every single one of those lives which have ended on this earth have continued in glory with Jesus Christ. And I even believe that on the last day, that those bodies, no matter what miraculous power Jesus has, I don't know, but I do know this. Jesus has promised that he will bring life even to those bodies. And they will no longer be mortal, but they will put on immortality. If you figure out how Jesus will do that, you could write a book and make a lot of money. Because we are all wondering. It is this great mystery. And we have faith that Jesus will see it to completion. Jesus is the source of hope at every funeral. Jesus is the source of our hope, our faith, because Jesus is truth, and Jesus is life. And with Jesus, there is always joy. I'm surprised how many times at a funeral there is laughter. There is laughter when someone knows, a family knows, exactly where their loved one is. Safe in the arms of Jesus Christ. We don't like to talk about death. In fact, most of us live in denial that we will someday die. A friend of mine bought a suit that he was going to, that he wore for his daughter's wedding, or his son's wedding. And he said that I'll wear this for my daughter's wedding, and then you can put it on me at my funeral. And his wife said, well, you know my plan is to be raptured together. You're not going to need a funeral. You know? We've exchanged perseverance for escapism when we have that kind of attitude. Yes, I look forward to the day when Jesus Christ returns, but at the same time, Jesus lives with us and knows that you need to be prepared. You need to have your family prepared for the eventuality that you might not be with them. God will be with me, and God won't let anything bad happen to me. That is nowhere in Scripture, friends, that God will never let anything bad happen to me. But God promises that he will be with you through the bad times. Salvation is not a get-out-of-jail-free card. You know, I'm just going to cash this in and I'll never have any worries again. But Jesus promises something far greater than getting out of all of our problems for nothing. Jesus promises us far greater things than, you know, not dying. Jesus promises us his presence through those things. I'd rather have Jesus' presence with me and be able to persevere through those crises than to not experience them. God promises us his presence and protection, not escape. Persecution and trial and crises actually strengthen our faith. They can strengthen us. Because even in the midst of the most terrible circumstances, God is with us. Footprints in the sand. Anybody know that wonderful little poem? You know, the person's walking along the beach with the two set of footprints. And in the toughest times in their life, there's only one set of footprints. And the person says, God, you abandoned me in those tough times. And God says, nope, those were the times when I picked you up and carried you. That's why there's only one set of footprints through the tough times. Persecution and trial will come. Crises will come. But through all of that, Jesus is with you through the power of the Holy Spirit. The second coming is coming. Might be sooner than we think. It could happen in this very moment. But yet, we must still live our lives in the here and now. And we must still be prepared for the delay of Jesus' coming. And we can debate all day the various ways in which Jesus might do that. I'm not too interested in that. I'm trusting in Jesus to get us through, no matter what comes. The fact remains, though, one of the most loving things that we can do is prepare our family, prepare our friends for the eventuality that we might not be with them. Nothing more comforting at a funeral than to have someone who was prepared and had all of the things laid out. Here's my funeral, Pastor Jim. I want you to sing these songs. I want you to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want you to have a good time, you know, because I know where I'm going. What a comfort that is for the family and for the friends. But be ready. Be ready. No one knows the hour. We are our grass. Ash Wednesday, long, long time ago, reminds us that we are dust. And dust is only around for a little while. And then it's gone, like the wind. Are you prepared for the end of your life? No matter how old or how young you are, are you prepared for that? Do your loved ones know your wishes? Do you want to be cremated? Do you want to be buried? What songs do you want sung at your funeral? I've told Kristen I want sackcloth and ashes. Weeping and gnashing of teeth at my demise. Yeah. Like that'll happen. They'll be dancing at my funeral. Do your loved ones know your wishes? In the scriptures, Jacob and Joseph were in Egypt when they passed. And they made their wishes known to their families. When I die, I want to be buried in the land of my fathers. I want to be buried in Israel. Their plans were made known, and 400 years it took until Joseph was finally taken and his body laid to rest in the promised land. His wishes were made known to his family. Are yours? Have those conversations, no matter how tough they may be. Have you prepared others to take your place when you go? You're an important part of your community, your family. You're important. Have you prepared others to take your place? Moses and Elijah, at the end of their ministry, prepared the next generation, prepared Joshua, prepared Elisha to pick up their mantle and to go and to continue their ministry. Have you left a legacy? Eunice Beckley Smith has left a legacy for this church. David left a legacy for his son Solomon. All Solomon had to do was pick up the plans that David had made for the temple and then follow them and build the temple. All of the money was there. All of the materials were ready. All Solomon had to do was follow the legacy that David had left. And most importantly, have you prepared your family? Jesus on the cross, all of the sins of the world on his back, what does he do? He takes care of his mother. He looks at his mother who he's leaving and says to his disciple, the one that he loved, behold your mother. And mother, behold your son. Take care of her. And you take care of him. And be family for each other, because I will no longer be with you in this life. Have you prepared for your death? And has your life demonstrated the great saving power of Jesus Christ, so that when your family gathers together at your funeral, your life demonstrates to them the fact that Jesus Christ was active and living and reigning in your life, so that there's no question in their hearts and their minds that you have met Jesus Christ face to face upon your death, and you have heard the words, well done, good and faithful servant. Don't wait to create your legacy. And know that Jesus shares with us the experience of death. And it'll be okay. Because no matter how bad it gets, Jesus has a hold of you and will not let you go. God loves you. And so do I. Amen.